been speaking to you this last few weeks on a series called Generosity. Proverbs 11 and verse 25 says, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." And again, that's countercultural. That's not the way we're used to people living. Being generous, thinking of others before we think of ourselves. But that's the way Jesus lived, and that's what he expects us to do. And there were five areas that we're looking at in this series. Five areas of generosity. Generous with our thanks, with our grace, with our time, with our money, and with our worship. And I began the series speaking about being generous with our thanks. Always giving thanks to God because of God's goodness to us. But also being generous with our thanks to others. Being someone who practices generous living. Last week I spoke to you about being generous with our grace. As followers of Jesus, we should be the most gracious people in our treatment of others. We should represent Jesus well wherever we are. But you know, that also is a factor in how we ourselves live our lives. Not only do we represent Jesus well when we're gracious, when we're forgiving, when we're kind, but it determines the amount and the quality of grace that we receive on a daily basis. Jesus said in Luke 6 and 7 and 38, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So how we give grace to others is the basis that God uses to bless us with grace day after day after day. We talked about growing a generous spirit. And today I want to talk about another area of life that we might not think right off about when it comes to giving. But I want to talk to you about the giving of your time, more specifically being generous with your time. Spending your time as an investment for the long term. I think about that a lot these days. I think about how I've spent my life to this point. What I've done with it overall. Not just the moments or the days, but a lifetime, how I've lived my life. And how I'm going to spend what's left of my life. You know, the older you get, the more aware you are of how precious time is. The older you are, you realize how much more experientially this is than theoretical. We've lived the life. We know whereof we speak. And now we look ahead and we say, God, how much what will I do with what you've given to me, with my time? The younger you are, it's almost like a blip in the radar. You don't even really think about it that much. You just hear old people like me talk about it, and you wonder, wow, is it really a big deal? And let me tell you this, because one day you're going to be where I am, and you're going to be looking back, and you're going to ask the question, how did I spend my life? I rarely talk to a person these days who doesn't say to me that they're busy. In fact, most people, I say, they're too busy. They're too busy. They don't feel they have enough time to do the things they think they need to do or the things they want to do. So what does it mean to be generous with your time? There's lots of questions about time. How much discretionary time do you think you have to spend in any given day? Do you feel like you don't have any? How do you decide what to spend your time on? What things should you consider before you make commitments that'll take up your time? What do you use as your grid to measure the decisions that you are making about your time? And then as followers of Christ, most people out in our world don't think about this, but we do. We say, so how much time of our time belongs to God? How much time should we be giving to God? And then we ask the question, when we think about, is that even the right question to ask? In other words, can I divide up my time, giving some to God and some to my pursuits and some to my work and some to my school and some to my family? Can I divide it up like that? How do I even ask the question about what I do with my time? And then I step back and I analyze exactly, how do I spend my time? What am I actually doing every day or every week? What am I giving the bulk of my time to? And all of these questions have a familiar theme to them because they're asked from our perspective. What we think about what we should do with our time, which is natural and normal. And yet as followers of Christ, we're taught and we begin to understand the importance that that's the second thing we do, not the first thing we do. Not asking about what we think about something or what our perspective is on something. But the first thing we're supposed to do is ask, God, what do you see? What do you think about this? What does God think we should be doing with our time? Is considering God's perspective first. I mentioned to you in my devotional this week that I've been spending a lot of time trying to get this right. I battle with the feelings of being somewhere between not doing enough for others to being overextended by trying to be all things to all people. There's that, man, what's the balance? How do I work that out? Because I believe that in every area of life, there is a healthy balance. And what I've learned is the Holy Spirit is the one that helps me to know what that balance is. The Holy Spirit helps me to be okay with the choices I end up making. The scripture says this is what's called keeping in step with the Spirit. That's the key, I believe, to life. The Holy Spirit, not getting ahead of him, not being behind him, but right in step with the Holy Spirit. And that is the key for any one of us. What I do know is that life is not identical for any two people. And the various stages we go through affect the demands of our time in different ways. For example, when I'm single, I have a lot of discretionary time. Except when I'm single, I don't think I do. I think I'm really busy. I think, wow, this is busy. Wow, life is busy. Until you get married. And then you realize that there's somebody else I now have to consider. And it gets complicated. I have more responsibilities now. I can't just do what I want to do. Now I got to think about somebody else. And then I have children. And I keep adding to the responsibilities. I keep adding. I gain more and more responsibilities. Now I'm responsible for more people. And I got to make sure that I'm a good husband. Now, and I got to make sure I'm a good dad. Oh, yeah, and then there's all those other responsibilities, like my friends. And all those things that happen, they pile up. And then one day, the kids move out of the house. They're gone. We call that being empty nesters. Arlene, I've been empty nesters for a long time. And what I found was that while the day-to-day responsibilities are less after the kids go, you still seem to be busy. You still seem to have your days filled. Boy, you should have all kinds of time, shouldn't you? I talked to retired people who haven't worked for a long time, who said, I've never been busier now that I'm retired. And you ask the question, how could that be possible? Well, it is. Life stages. So whether I'm working full-time, part-time, whether I'm retired, the point is we're all at different places in our lives. And because of our differences, we have to figure out how to spend our time wisely and generously. And so for that, it's always helpful to first and always look to God's perspective. God's perspective is this, that time is a gift from him to you. I don't think most people think about that. The time that you and I have every day is a gift from God. So therefore, we should treat every moment of our day as precious, no matter what we're doing. I try to do that. The beginning of the day, groggily as I move towards the shower and I get in, I start my prayer conversation with the Lord. How many do that? How many get going with it? You're kind of feeling your way along and you get to the shower and you start talking to the Lord. I talk to the Lord in the shower every day. And the first words out of my mouth are usually, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, thank you. It's a gift. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And the more I say it, the more alive I become, the more awake I become. But what it does is sets me on a good course. Because I realize that this day now, ahead of me, I just included God with me. And that's what I say, Lord, I want you to go with me every step. I want you to go with me every step. Because I found this, that when you stay conscious of that reality, that it's about what God wants for your life, that this is a gift from God. Every moment of this day belongs to God. It's a gift from Him. That when you stay conscious of that reality, you're more likely to make the best decisions over time. You begin to realize that you are making good choices, balanced choices. And there's something that happens in your lifetime, again, spoken as an older person. When you look back over your life, you realize that you've been accumulating a lot of eternal assets. That is, your acts of generosity are deposited into your spiritual bank account. The Bible tells us that God keeps track of everything we do, all of our works, everything we do, both good and bad, tells us that. So when you do something good with your life, He's aware of that, keeps track of that, and it's credited to you. And when you do that over a lifetime, you accumulate a lot of spiritual assets. While you're still here, you get to draw on those assets, those things of God, those spiritual things that God has brought into your life. You get to draw on those when you need them to continue to grow in the purposes that God has for you. So I've been talking about the fact that God gives you in order to give. And the more you give, the more God gives to you in order to give. And He gives to you then in order to give. That's how you continue to grow. You wonder sometimes, how is that person so rich in faith? Why does that person have such a presence about them that they just really seem to know God? Well, that's how it happened. Accumulating over time. Feeding over time. Doing this over time. And investing their time well. So that when that person or any of us leave this life, we actually leave behind us a legacy of faith that will continue on long after we're gone. The lives that we've impacted in some way, large or small, will be themselves impacting other people, large and small. So there's something behind us that we have left that will be perpetuating itself. I see this as win-win. Whatever you give of yourself for Christ is increased. Whatever. Whatever you give, you are blessed, so you have more to bless with. Luke 6, verse 38, again, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I believe that the best use of your time is for whatever God brings into your life at any given moment. Whatever He puts in front of you. In other words, every moment belongs to Christ, so you spend it as an investment in His eternal mission, no matter how ordinary it might seem to be. And sometimes it's not even that dramatic. It's just doing what you're supposed to do as a representative of Christ, allowing God's grace to flow through you. Whether you're at home, at work, at school, at play, wherever you are. The Bible says, Colossians 3 and 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do, that's all-encompassing. There are no exceptions. There are no caveats. It's all right there. Whatever you do, which means whatever you do with your time, because everything takes time. Whatever you say, whatever you do, takes time. And it's an investment of time. Every conversation that you have is an investment of your time. But here's what it said. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you know what that means? Whatever you do, whatever you say, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you know what that means? To do something in someone's name means to act as that person's representative. Someone has given me authority to speak on their behalf, to represent them in any situation. Could be at work, could be in government, it could be anywhere. But you are now appointed and authorized to speak on that person's behalf. How important is that then? How you speak, what you say, what you do. So you and I, as followers of Christ, Jesus already said, we are his representatives. And whatever we do in his name. We're doing it for Jesus. So when I speak in Jesus' name, it is me speaking for Jesus. Wow. I'll tell you, that's helped me so many times in my life to say things the right way. When I realize that I'm speaking for Jesus, he's speaking through me every time I open my mouth, that I'm representing him. It gives me pause to think about what I say, what I do. And so it is when I'm generous with my time, I reflect Christ's generosity. Everything that I do represents Christ. So I act towards others precisely as Jesus would act. In fact, I'm expected to do that. And so it boils down this way, that what I do with my time is really a stewardship issue. If my time belongs to me, then I choose how to spend my time. Case closed, solved, simple. A lot of people, that's how they live their lives. Most people live that way. However, if my time belongs to God, then I spend my time in ways that are pleasing to God. Here's what Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17 say about that. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. That's a tall order. Being very wise of how we live. Careful. Making the most of every opportunity. Aware how evil the days are. That's why it's so important to be in step with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to know every moment what God's will is. We're God conscious full time. And that keeps us on our toes as we navigate our way through very evil days. Because I'll tell you what, it's very easy to get sidetracked and to waste our time on fruitless things. Isn't it? How many find you can waste your time very easily? And after it's all said and done, you go, what did I just do? What did I accomplish? That's one of Satan's schemes, is to try to get us distracted from living the way that we should, being God conscious, so that we'll end up wasting our time on frivolous pursuits and miss out on the divine appointments that seem to appear out of nowhere. Because I'm God conscious, I recognize what seem to be interruptions And I recognize them as divine appointments. Because I'm investing my time, not just living my life. Situation that the Holy Spirit alone orchestrates. Often they're unplanned and unexpected by me. But I'm ready when I'm God conscious. Some of the most meaningful times I've had in my life that I've made investments in my life have come out of the blue. A conversation that I had with somebody I wasn't even expecting to talk to. Or somebody just showing up or calling or emailing or however the situation turned out to be. I was there in the right place at the right time because I was God conscious and I was able to give my time to that scenario. And it was powerful. To be generous with my time is to live like Jesus. Jesus shows us how. Just read. Read the Gospels. Make no mistake. He had a life plan. He was on a mission to seek and save the lost. He came into the world that would eventually refuse him and crucify him and turn him away. But he accomplished his mission. He accomplished his plan in 3 years. It was amazing. He went about doing good, healing and teaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And he gathered around him a group of followers who he would train to carry on his mission after he left. He spent time in prayer and he spent time in the synagogues teaching. And he was always seemingly out in the marketplace. And amazing stuff when you read it. Jesus' life and ministry throughout the Gospels. He seems to be able to do everything right on time. And he never seemed to be in a hurry. He never seems to do anything because people expected him to. There are stories that you will read that he just knew because he was so in tune with the Father. He spent so much time in prayer. He was so God conscious as he operated in the flesh. Remember, he wasn't operating as God. He was operating as God in flesh, showing us how to live. He depended upon the Holy Spirit in him, just as he tells us to do. He was always on time, always seemed to have enough to give to meet the needs of any situation. He was clearly generous with his time when he recognized it was a divine appointment. He knew how to make the most of every opportunity because he perfectly knew the will of God. He knew the leading of the Holy Spirit. He knew how to make every moment count. And that's what you and I need to try to do. Being generous with your time starts and continues with making Jesus the Lord of every moment of your life. That's how you learn how to live, being careful, being wise, not being foolish. When you understand that the Lord requires all of you all of the time, then you're ready to respond like Jesus would at any time. You could be a stay-at-home mom or dad. You could go to work or school every day. You can be a single adult. You could be married. You could be having kids, no kids. You can be young, middle-aged. You can be older. You can be at any stage in your life. And you can be at the right place at the right time all the time, making the most of every opportunity. If you choose to live this way, be conscious of God and allow the Holy Spirit to give you direction. God will give you the wisdom you need to live like Jesus would, to know when to say yes and when to say no. How to be ready to give your time to accomplish God's purposes. Think about the stories that you're aware of. The Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 is famous. Why? Because he was generous with his time. He stood out from everybody else just because he was in the right place at the right time and allowed God to work through him. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, as they were going to their daily prayer time in the temple. This particular incident in Acts 3 is noteworthy because they recognized that unlike other times they'd done the very same thing, there was a recognition that God had put a crippled beggar in front of them. It became noteworthy, instrumental in building faith in their lives and the faith of the people. Jesus was amazing. His conversations with people were always engaging and with purpose. People that brought into his life for whatever reason. Nicodemus, the religious seeker. The Samaritan woman at the well, carrying spiritual and emotional and relational baggage. He recognized the divine appointment. Zacchaeus, the despised tax collector that nobody wanted anything to do with. The rich young ruler who was looking for approval. The disciples who had a zillion questions day after day, who kept missing the point. The religious elite who were stuck in legalistic formalism. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. Jesus was just aware of which one was a divine appointment and which one wasn't. Which one required his time and which one didn't. Now the opposite of generously giving your time to others under the direction of God would be spending your time on yourself, doing what you want without any thought of others, particularly what God was wanting you to be doing. I mentioned last Sunday about being generous with your grace towards others, which is indispensable for building healthy relationships. We should be the most forgiving people in the whole world as Christ followers. Forgive, Jesus said, as you have been forgiven. When you forgive others, I'll forgive you. Forgiving is an act of grace, generosity. Taking time with people is a rare gift and one that makes a huge impression on people. There will be times where when you do that, when you actually spend time with someone, people say, why would you do that? Why would you take the time? Because giving time is a rare gift today that makes a huge impression. And you give time because you're a follower of Jesus, you represent him, and you want to do it well. Another aspect of time that we should be aware of is this. This is a principle. If we don't choose how to spend our time will get spent for us. Just a fact of life. If we don't choose how to spend our time, it's going to get spent for us. It's pretty easy to waste a whole day doing nothing, doing things that we perhaps are addicted to for enjoyment, but accomplish nothing. It's also common to have demanding people waste our time if we're not already using it wisely. That's why it's important to be proactive by following the Spirit's lead. It's best to live God-conscious. And so the principle is a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others himself will be refreshed. A man who is generous with his time will prosper. He who takes time to invest in others will be refreshed. And you recognize when you do that, God working through your life, it's invigorating to you. That's because God continues to pour his blessing on those who bless others. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, I want that kind of blessing. I want to be blessed that way, day after day. So many times I ask God whether or not I'm being selfish with what he's given to me. And that's because I want to be more like Jesus. Everything he's given to me is a gift. Obviously, I can't spend time with every person at all times. That's not possible for one person. Jesus couldn't do that himself. He couldn't be with every person all the time. But I can be conscious of God's presence in everything I do and be ready to respond in every situation as a representative of Jesus. I can be allowing the Holy Spirit to direct me as I stay fully surrendered to him. And by living that way, I can always make the most of every situation, just like Jesus did and told me to do that. So I encourage you, beginning of every day, make a conscious effort to thank God for the gift of another day. Have you thanked God today for this day? I hope you have. I hope you start to say, God, thank you for this day. All of you in this room have already learned some stuff by coming here today. Did you know that? You've learned stuff. You've been taught something. You've been given something to consider. And now you can say, God, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving me this investment into my life today. What do you want me to do with that? The beginning of each day, it's a really good thing to do. As I mentioned earlier, that's what I try to do. Starting out the day, God, thank you for this day. I want to give it to you. I want you to work through me. And then at the end of every day, when it's all said and done and you're getting ready to lay your head on the pillow, at the end of each day, I thank God for what he did throughout the day in my life. I commit my family once again into his care, myself, my family. And I say, Lord, I gave my best. I gave my best today. I've lived today without regret as I've tried to involve you in everything I've done. None of us will do it perfectly. None of us will ever get it right. I told you that earlier. I've been working this for a long time. But at the end of every day, when you live this way, conscious of God and being generous with your time, I'll tell you, then you can rest. Then you can rest. This morning, I encourage you to look at your life. Notice I didn't give you any formulas today, any things that you should be trying to put into your life, living certain ways. I mean, I've heard a zillion of those myself, and I'm not saying that you have to do this, do that. I've said we're all in different stages, we're all in different places in our life, but what I am going to encourage you to do, that every one of us could be God conscious of God and the Holy Spirit working through us. Make a good investment of your time. I have found that when I do that, that God has actually maximized my time in many cases, so that I was able to accomplish way more than I thought I was going to be able to do originally on my own. But because I had stepped out, God did something in an even greater fashion in my life. And he gave me time. He gave me the time that I needed to accomplish what he wanted me to do. That's what I'm going to ask you to do today, to think about in terms of being generous. Generous. It's not how much time can I set aside for God. Don't live like that, because all your time belongs to God. Oh, I came to church Sunday morning, so therefore now I can go on with my week. No, that's dividing it up. And that's saying this little part belongs to God and the rest belongs to me. It all belongs to God. It all belongs to him. Live that way. That every moment is a gift. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, thank you for this opportunity again that we've had to look at your word. I believe there are a lot of people in this room this morning, Lord, that are just so wanting to be what you want them to be. I thank you that your word stirs up our thoughts, just calls us to action. I pray, God, that the main thing that people get a hold of today will be the fact that everything belongs to you, including our time. And that we can go to you and that you'll direct us and show us how to live wisely. As we prepare now, Lord, for communion, I pray, God, that you will minister into our hearts, prepare us to share in fellowship around your table, giving thanks for the greatest gift that was ever given, the gift of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sin. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.